are listening to a financial show.
That is not advice.
That's not advice. Not advice.
What's a rip?
A rip, commission. That's why we work here.
You make huge rips.
No, I still don't know how it works.
But you and me, the brokers, right, we're taking home cold hard cash via commission.
Right.
No matter whether our clients make money or lose money, Duke and Duke get the commission.
The only thing we don't know is your fee.
My fee is the free market. Your partner.
I've been on Wall Street for over 20 years, and I cannot think of anything that I've seen that is nearly as insane as what's going on with the GameStop break.
Sessions on GameStop.
I've never seen it before. And what Wall Street Bets, which is really driving this, what they've done, that's a site on Reddit.
To that Reddit thread that a lot of people are sort of attributing to the big pop that we have seen over the last few sessions on GameStop.
What they've done is target large short positions.
Again, spiking as much as 85% in today's session.
Usually, you have a short squeeze and it goes up, but this one keeps going. So this really speaks to the changing demographics of investors in the market.
This financial show isn't advice. I'm not an expert. This is a chapter in my open journal reflecting a path I've taken and where I want to go in my financial education. Liquidity is king. Equity is appreciable. My name is Chris, and today we're talking about short interest. You can find the show on Spotify, Google, iTunes, and anywhere else podcasts can be found. What makes an institution? Is it a name? Is it the recognition by others? Is it an act of a collective group in repetition? Political scientist Samuel P. Huntington defined institution as a stable value, recurring pattern of behavior. A stable, valued, recurring patterns of behavior. This week might be when the financial markets have to start accounting for Wall Street Bets as a paradigm shift and an institution in the definition of Samuel P. Huntington. The week of January 18th started with the inauguration of a new president, and by the end of the week, a group of investors from the Reddit forum, Wall Street Bets, were making a lot of money as part of a short squeeze, and another group of traditional institutional investors were losing their minds at the audacity of retail investors outsmarting and outstrategizing a renowned fund manager who was intent on shorting GameStop. Growth is sometimes doing nothing, and that's what I have in common with GameStop. This isn't a thesis, just an opinion, and I still might be a little bitter in GameStop attempting to sell OpenDisc as new and give me $5 on a trade-in value on a one-week-old new release game.
It's the free market.
The week after the run started, I thought the run was over. But the free market isn't logical, consistent, or right. A wild Mustang isn't running towards a known destination, but it does look majestic as fuck while it's happening. 1 year ago, I would have tried to get in time or tell friends that I believe in the Wall Street Bet thesis or I don't agree in it. Me doing neither is growth, and that's what I learned last year in trying to time the market on NIO, HMHC, Tesla. As a relatively new investor, I never considered trading against short interest or even using that as a research tool, which is the lesson I learned from this drastic week of growth and controversy associated with GameStop. Going forward, I want to identify what I learned and how I will apply it going forward. This week, as many other investors learned, is how to use short interest as a tool in my market research. Investopedia defines short interest as the number of shares that have been sold short but have not yet been covered or closed out. Short interest, which could be expressed in a number or a percentage, is an indicator of market sentiment. Extremely high short interest shows investors are very pessimistic, potentially over-pessimistic. When an investor is shorting a stock, they have to borrow shares from other investors to do so. Reddit user DJ Bond 2112, that's B-O-N for Bond, explains it best. normally when you buy an investment, stock, bonds, etc., but stocks, for this example, you buy now. You hold them until they become more valuable. Then you sell them to make money. This is going long. You want a price of the stock to increase. Going short is the opposite. You want the price to fall so you can make money. So how does one do this? First, you need a broker. You borrow stocks from the broker, let's say 1,000 shares of a company at $1 each. No, you're not spending any money yet. You're borrowing them. This is important. Now you can go sell those shares to someone else and get $1,000. You could use this $1,000 to pay your broker back, but why do that? Instead, you wait until the stock price drops. Let's say to 50 cents a share. Now, you could buy back the 1,000 shares for $500 and return those 1,000 borrowed shares to your broker. You just made $500 off of the stock of the company going down. And the broker, usually representing people going long, doesn't notice anything, really doesn't care, and they charge you a slight fee for this privilege of borrowing the shares. You borrowed 1,000 shares, you returned 1,000 shares, but you made money on it. As of the beginning of the week, 139% of GameStop's available shares were borrowed and sold short.
Hey, this is Andrew Left at Citron Research, giving you five reasons why GameStop is going to $20. I've never seen such an exchange of ideas and people so angry about someone showing the other side of a trade. This is a failing mall-based retailer. So let's just get right to the five reasons why we believe it's going back to 20. Number one is the elephant in the room, most obvious, how people believe we are in the middle of a short squeeze. Noted, there was a very high short interest in the stock, and there still is. Your first question you have to ask yourself is, why is there a high short interest? But moving beyond that.
1 week later.
The company that I'm talking about today is a company called GameStop. It's a U.S.-listed company. It's of U.S. origin. And, this is what the stock has been doing lately. It almost doubled last night, and it's up 860% in 2021 so far.
Mark, do I keep hearing that we're seeing bad behavior, so you answer it with bad behavior? And, there's a lot of wrongs in the markets right now, so you need to address those wrongs with more wrongs. I mean, when you look at GameStop...
No, that's not what I'm saying, Joe.
And as a way to stick it to the shorts, who are elitists and who, have been gaming the system for so long, it just seems like you're justifying it, and two wrongs don't make a right.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
The reason the market is doing what it's doing is people are sitting at home getting the checks from the government, okay? And this fair share is a bullshit concept. It's just a way of attacking wealthy people, and I think it's inappropriate. We all got to work together and pull together.
Hi, this is Andrew Left at Citron Research. Around 6 days ago, I did a video explaining five reasons why I thought GameStop would go from 40 all the way back to 20. And I had no idea what that would set off. So the reason I'm doing this video is because I cannot answer one more phone call. How are you? Are you okay? Are you in business? What about GameStop? Should I short it here? People I have not spoken to in 20, 30 years. This has captured the attention of the America and every trader and non-trader alike. So first, let's answer this question. I'm just fine. Citron Capital is just fine. Cover the majority of the short in the 90s at a loss 100%, have a small imaginable position, and I'll let it go. For those who don't...
At the beginning of this week, 139% of GameStop shares were available, were borrowed and sold short, which made the stock ripe for a short squeeze, led by retail investors who subscribed to Wall Street Bets Reddit group. One report I read stated that 50% of investment in GameStop were Robinhood users. 50%. That's an amazing amount for the outstanding shares, which is about equivalent to 68 million shares. As, once again, described by DJ Bond 2112, the explanation of shorting, if the stock increases instead of decreasing in price during the heavy short, the short seller will have to cover the borrowed shares at the higher price and lose money. The retail investor interest in the company drove the price up, despite Andrew Left's thesis, and criticism causing a squeeze and forcing Andrew Left and other short sellers to pay more than 15 times the price per share that they borrowed it at, subsequently driving the stock price even higher, through the roof. Ironically, Andrew Left's research firm, Citron, used to be called Lemon Stock. And when squeezed, it made a lot of proverbial lemonade for the optimistic investor who saw the returns multiply. The two major known short sellers were Citron Research, led by Andrew Left, and Melvin Capital. S3 Partners estimates short sellers have lost over $5 billion on the short play alone 3 weeks into the new year. After I wrote that, that amount went up to about $10 billion. One research firm lost $2.5 billion in 1 day, Citadel Capital. Quickly after I started this entry, I think what would be defined as a pivot point in American financial trading history, short sellers lost so much money and the stock increased at such a rapid rate, Robinhood Brokerage allegedly halted trading and liquidated retail investors' positions in GameStop involuntarily, resulting in a 60% dip in value. Convenient timing, as allegedly, a bunch of new shorts were placed that morning of the forced liquidation, meaning some of these hedge funds were able to get their money back. It reminds me of a point our guest from Passive Investing made last week in regards to no-fee platforms.
I would say one of the things that a lot of people confuse about brokerages is that free trade mean that they're not paying anything. But brokerages have to make money somehow, right? They're a business, they have employees to pay for. So to the extent that they might offer free trades, well, those brokerages that do offer free trades, they're making money in other ways, whether it's, you know, selling your trade information or something else. So free trades are, you know, on the surface seem quite good, but I don't think they're all they're cracked up to be honest with you.
If you can't figure out what a business is selling or how they are making money, but they want you to sign up, you are the product. And they market you to their customer. In the case of Robinhood, they sell retail investor order flow information to the hedge fund, which is worth tens of millions of dollars in actionable daily trading executions by the hedge fund, which then place their trades in the middle of your trades to make money based on the order that they process those trades. It pockets the difference between the price to buy and sell, known as the spread, according to the Financial Times, and according to research, one of Robinhood's customers, Citadel Security, who owns the short side of GameStop, was fined $22 million by the SEC in 2017 because purchase process order flows for retail investors were being manipulated by the hedge fund's algorithms to screw retail investors like you. In full disclosure, I never invested in GameStop. I considered it, and in a moment of fear of missing out, I purchased and sold AMC in the same pre-market session, which is a gamble, although I acknowledge for others is an investment. But the short sellers are gambling too. They know they're gambling. They refer to gambling because you're betting against the house. The house is the company that you're placing the short against. As it is the exact opposite of an investment that you're expecting to get value out of, their value is the destruction of the asset that they're betting against. This week reinforced that the market is still not going to reflect or advocate or for the average customer, but understands opportunities when reviewing stocks such as short interest as being an indicator to do more research into the investor's thesis as why the company is undervalued. It's a tool I didn't use before. I doubt in the near future we're going to see another stock shorted in excess of available shares. But now the companies are going to have to be very particular and very focused on that opportunity. Shorting provides financial incentives for people to identify fraud. But what was fraudulent about GameStop? It wasn't Theranos, the blood testing company that raised hundreds of millions in private equity, fraudulently selling non-functioning medical equipment to the government and health institutions and put people's lives at real risk. While I have a personal agenda against GameStop's trade-in policy, they aren't inadvertently hurting anyone. What purpose does it provide the world to short the company and push them to go out of business? It puts people out of work. It hurts commercial space owners, which means less tax revenue for the municipality, state, and federal government. A tenet of Western economic theory is that markets are logical and self-correcting. If anything, It feels like the markets are not logical and have no pretense of fairness up until maybe a little bit 5 years ago. The market was a reflection of hedge funds and institutional trading sentiment. It wasn't the retail investors that packaged subprime mortgages and convinced their partnering credit rating agencies to stamp them with an A-plus rating, which led to the 2008 market collapse, as seen in the movie Big Short. It wasn't retail investors who encouraged Arthur Andersen to fraudulently certify Enron's accounting, which supported the institution's ability to report $100 billion in extra revenue, which really didn't exist. It also helped the institution encourage their own employees to invest the majority of their 401k in the company, which was the float. At its peak short interest of 2% in Enron, Jim Chanos cleaned up and was vindicated in his short interest despite clear numbers. GameStop wasn't that. Isn't that? Enron was shorted, but not at the extent of GameStop. 130% of a short is like going all in at the poker table and risking your house because you have a pair of fours. Could it work? Yes. Is it prudent? No. Is it likely to make money? No. Which is where the tears of the hedge funds start, because they got burned. And at worst, the YOLO play hurt hedge funds. At best, it hurt the uneducated investor who put it all on the line because an athlete told them to. But this is the free market. I thought that's the idea. People could put in risk, pull themselves up by the bootstraps, and if you make a wild attempt at success in America, sometimes you're rewarded. At least that's what we're told. It's not the retail investor's fiduciary duty to protect the hedge fund's profitability. Maybe the hedge fund managers shouldn't short a stock in excess of available shares. That's irresponsible. If Americans are going to be encouraged to pull themselves up by those proverbial bootstraps, by the ruling class, the oligarchs, the ruling 1%, then there's something to be said for hedge funds losing their shirt and having to pay out of the wazoo for being irresponsible with the money of their customers entrusted them with. Following this episode, we're going to air an interview with Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev and Chris Cuomo that was broadcast the evening of January 28th, the day Robinhood restricted access to the stock and their customers. And investor Citadel Securities and Sequoia Capital made billions on the other side of the GameStop trade. Do with this what you will. Make your own opinion. Be cautious. As referenced by Nick McCollum with the passive trading platform, you are the product, not the customer. So when you hear the CEO of the company say customer, very particular, you are the product, not the customer. That's it for the episode. Please do your own research. Don't make investments based on what you hear on the show, but feel free to email us at feesalwayswin@gmail.com. Feesalwayswin@gmail.com. Tell your friends. Start your own investment journey. Share your goals with your friends. The ultimate goal is still compounding interest. Put in a little money. You don't have to do speculation plays to get rich one day.
Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev. Vlad, thank you for joining us.
Chris, thank you for having me. This is surreal for me. I've been watching your show a lot, especially through this past year.
Well, I appreciate it. Look, you know my audience. This is not an investment show, and I don't think it needs to be. I don't really care about your capital commitments, your liquidity, and what was going on in the regulatory side. And I'll talk to you a little bit about that. But I want you to address the obvious. This looks like a move by an outfit called Robinhood, which is supposed to be taken from the rich and given to the poor, and doing exactly the opposite. That when the big guys, including one of your main investors in your company, started to lose, you shut down the game to starve the little guy. Fair criticism.
That's not what it is at all. And I know you started this segment. It really resonated with me because you described the story of Robinhood. Robinhood started 5 years ago by pioneering commission-free, no-account minimum mobile investing. And we've been the spokesperson of the individual investor, and our business model in 2019.
And in 2020, we added millions of new customers. The entire industry added millions of new customers who took advantage of the market rally and became investors for the very first time. So, you know, we had to make a very difficult decision to protect our customers and our firm.
Why?
But we in no way.
Why? Explain why you had to do it if it wasn't to protect the guys who had shorted the stocks, which are the big hedge funds. How are you helping the little guy investors?
Well, I know that there's rumors around that, you know, we were directed by market makers or other market participants to do this. And I want to be 100% clear. This decision was not made on the direction of any market maker or other market participants.
So why'd you do it? Decision.
Robinhood, as a brokerage, has lots of financial requirements, SEC requirements. We have to put up money at clearinghouses. The amount of money that we have to put up depends on market volatility, and we're in a historic situation where there's a lot of activity and a lot of buying concentrated in a relatively small number of symbols that are going viral on social media. So we haven't really seen anything like this before, and to prudently manage the risk and the deposit requirements, we had to restrict buying in these 13 stocks, but customers that held them could sell throughout. Thousands of other securities and stocks on our platform were available to freely trade. And our number one priority, as you mentioned, is to make sure our platform is reliable, stable for our customers. We're serving our customers and giving them the tools.
But that's exactly what's
the
question
now. We're doing everything in our power to turn it back on as soon as prudent.
But that's the thing, is that the trust is in question, because it seems like the only people who are getting hurt were the big shots. And that if they were benefiting from this, your small investors now believe that you wouldn't have shut down the game. And just one thing without getting in the weeds here. You don't control the listing venue for GameStop. Now, I used to work in finance, so I know this stuff. But the audience doesn't need to. The New York Stock Exchange does. So if anybody was going to control the listing and shut it down, it should have been them. But it wasn't. It was you. And the reason that they do it is very limited. They do it because they think there's evidence of fraud, or they think that there needs to be a material disclosure by the company that hasn't been made. And that's done to protect the investor. You check none of those boxes here because you don't control the venue. You didn't know about any information that GameStop or any of these other stocks needed to put out. You don't have any reason to believe there's fraud that you've articulated. And you're certainly not protecting these people who've been living the dream of making money, especially at the expense of the big guys. So why should people believe you did this for the right reasons?
Well, we have no choice. We have to comply with all financial requirements.
The SEC hasn't said you had to do this.
Well, lots of brokers have to comply with these financial requirements and have issued restrictions on some of these names. And this is a industry-wide thing. You yourself mentioned that other brokers this week have imposed restrictions. And not speaking for other firms, but for Robinhood in particular, this isn't because there's deals happening with market makers we route to or market participants.
But then why did you allow people to keep selling but not buying? The reason that is so troubling to people is that they were making money buying the stock because they were against the short side. And so by enabling them to sell but not buy, it sounds like you were allowing the hedge funds. And again, one of them owns a piece of you and they had a big short position. And that looks like a stinky conflict that you didn't come out straight on from the start. Address that.
Well, none of that had anything to do with our decision to do this. Again, this was just looking at regulatory requirements, financial requirements. And we 100% will always protect our customers, where the entire business is operating to empower individual investors and has been since its founding. And that's what Robinhood is committed to continue to do. So we don't want to restrict buying in these 13 stocks. We're doing the best we can to re-enable it as long as it's operationally and prudent from a deposit standpoint.
So for you, it's about how much money is in the mix and what you can cover yourself?
Well, it's about us complying with the financial and clearinghouse deposits and regulations.
Then you need, you know what you need? I'll give you some free advice. You need somebody who sets those requirements to come out and say that this is why this happened, because otherwise it smells bad, especially for a place called Robinhood to have Citadel Securities, your largest customer, investing $2.75 billion to bail out one of the biggest losers in the GameStop short. You know, they both deny, you know, you and Citadel say this wasn't concerted action or anything, but it looks terrible. So you need somebody to justify your decision. Do you think you can do that?
There's a lot of misinformation out there, and I'm not going to speak for what regulators or industry professionals will say, but you can talk to any of the brokers that have made similar restrictions, and I think they'll all tell you the same thing. And this is a highly regulated industry. It's non-negotiable for us to cooperate with the regulators, follow their guidance, and we're in constant communication with them. So we have to be extremely buttoned up.
I heard you. Now, I saw you on another channel. They were saying, so is it a liquidity issue? So Robinhood didn't have the money to control the flow. And you said, no, it's not the issue. We don't have a liquidity issue. Well, if you don't have a liquidity issue, but you say you're stopping the trading because you couldn't meet certain capital requirements, how does that reconcile with itself?
Well, we feel pretty good about the situation. And, you know, we did this preemptively, right? We were looking at the deposit requirements. We were looking at the operational requirements. So we did this proactively, and we feel good about being able to re-enable these things. And we definitely want to make sure customers understand when we impose restrictions, when we lift them. Ultimately, brokers have to impose these types of restrictions because the capital requirements can change, and we're in unprecedented times, and the financial system operates in very technical ways with regard to settlement and money movement, and there's no way around that. It's just the reality of the business.
I hear what your rationale is, but again, now we're going to be watching this story because you have political forces I've never seen aligned before. Lead to the lake if they want to fish. Make sure them around you stick to the script. It should be written in stone. You should come visit my zone. Don't take my word. Double check all of my flows. Ask them how hustle got on. But fuck what you heard. This for who walked down that road. Sold everything but they sold. Straight off the curb. Real rich as you nerds. Address to whom and make it sound. Don't do this for nothing. No. When I got all you. But I don't do this for nothing. Lord.